This is the Social Media Church Podcast with your host, DJ Chuang. You are listening to episode number 2. We are just starting this new podcast as a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. Thank you for all the likes and follows and comments about the first episode of the Social Media Church Podcast. And for those of you that are new, you can go back to that podcast, listen to it, download it, like it, share it. It was a conversation with Kenny Jang, who helped me frame up this Social Media Church Podcast as a place for conversations and to just get the thinking behind how different churches and church leaders are using social media. And you can download that episode from socialmediachurch.net and connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. And if you're up for it, make a video response on our YouTube channel. We'd love to see you. And we also have a phone number there on the website where you can call in and leave a voicemail with your comments and questions, and we'll incorporate it into a future episode. Again, this is a place for conversation, and it wouldn't be the same without your voice. On this episode of Social Media Church, we talk with a social media pastor. Now, there aren't too many pastors out there with that title, so I was thrilled to find one in San Antonio, Texas. And his name is Neil Smith. Typically, I'd like to keep these episodes right around 30 minutes, but sometimes they will go shorter and sometimes it will go longer. And since this is one of the longer ones, we're just going to cut right to the recording and see you on the other side. Here's my conversation with Nils Smith. It's DJ Chuang with the Social Media Church Podcast, and I am privileged to be here with the first social media pastor that I know of, Nils Smith from Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas. So, Nils, introduce yourself and how you got started being a social media pastor.
Excellent. Thanks, DJ, and I appreciate you having me. I started 2 years ago on staff, and I was actually a youth and young adult pastor previous to this, and I would say that I got started in social media 10 years ago using AOL Instant Messenger, and I saw that transform, honestly, youth ministry and how we did youth ministry and how I interacted. Engage students, and then MySpace, and then Facebook, and really in our young adult ministry, we saw Facebook really transform our ministry and the interaction. And then CBC called me, and they were, as a church, talking about doing online church ministry, and I was individually really seeing a lot of opportunity. I was taking my college ministry and broadcasting it through live stream and almost developing an online campus through that free platform, but wanting to go to another level. And as they were wanting to do the same thing, we kind of combined, and we did an experiment of 1 week of trying an online church service, and that experiment led to a long-term partnership, and where I came on staff and launched the online campus for CBC.
And being there for about 2 years, what's happened in 2 years? Give us a quick snapshot.
It's been a ride. You know, we started with one service on a Monday night. I remember I went to lunch with Robert Emmett, our senior pastor. He said, "What would it take to launch an internet campus?" And I said, "Probably 6 months to build the platform and chat." He said, "Well, can't we do it next week?" And I said, I don't think so. And he said, "Well, I think we can figure this out." Literally a week later, we were sitting around a round table with the executive staff of CBC with a trial experiment. We did one online service on a Monday night, I believe. And it was awesome. And he said, "Well, can we do it again next week, except do 3 services?" And so we did 3 online services the following week, pre-recorded from Sunday. And he said, "You want to join the staff and do this full time?" And I said, "Absolutely." And since then, we expanded. We went from 3 services to 12 the next week and built a team and grew. Now we're 24/7 streaming services, launched a Spanish channel, launched online life groups, and really built a community beyond just that weekly service.
That's amazing. Yeah. So it almost sounds like you're building it on the fly, and you're building it very fast. I mean, how did the church decide to do a online worship service? Because a lot of churches are still investigating and asking questions.
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with our senior leadership. Our senior pastor is one of those leaders that maybe follows the aim or shoot and then aim model of let's try it. If it doesn't work, we can can it, but we don't want to talk about it for a year and then try, you know, give it as an experiment. Let's just try it and then decide whether we want to invest further in it or pull it. So we, you know, one of our elders has a technology background. He suggested it. Our senior pastor caught the vision, and at the same time, we connected, and there was just an immediate fit and partnership. And we ran the experiment, engaged it, the church resourced it, and we've just moved on. And so then each step of the way was, hey, can't we do this, or can we try doing this, or with our Spanish service, you know, what do we need to do to put our Spanish service online? What structures do we need? And so every day I never know what I'm going to come into, you know, what ideas are, and I luckily have that freedom to risk and to try things and experiment.
Amazing. What an enviable position. So let's walk through each of those pieces and get a look at under the hood, if you will. So you launch the internet campus. Is that what you call it? Right. Guys call it there?
We call it our online church.
Okay, your online church, you launch it in a matter of weeks, which is unheard of. And okay. So you have a lot of license to experiment and ramp up. Did you decide to just start with the live stream and add pieces onto that, or you wanted a minimal baseline before you added on other modules?
You know, we started with a very simple model, and so we never streamed live. We just started with the pre-recorded from the Sunday service. It was easy. We used Media Social, which is a third-party platform that really is a kind of a plug-and-play system where we just had to upload our video. We also, from day one, didn't feel like the online audience wanted a full worship set from the music standpoint. They really want to hear the pastor and then have that music piece in addition. So we've always only done one song. We tried doing one song on the front end, one song on the back end. We've really found it to be effective to run a sermon at the front end because that's what people are wanting to hear, using that song as an opportunity for reflection. That's where we often ask for prayer requests or to really flesh out the sermon. So we kind of had a simple model of sermon, music, and that's our online church service. And then we have three teaching pastors. And so we started with just Robert Emmett, our senior pastor, and then probably a month and a half in, we added two of our other teaching pastors. So then we were able to rotate between those three.
Very cool. So do you introduce the service and wrap up the service with some live cut-in announcements, or is it just the worship?
Yeah, we used to do that. We honestly have moved to the more simple we become with it, the more effective we found our service to become. So really, I used to have a piece where I would introduce it, kind of intro and outro. Now we let the teaching pastors do that. We're using the sermon from our physical campus online. We started, though, probably at the first of the year, recording our pastors preaching just to the camera in a shorter format. And so where they're preaching 35 minutes to our physical campus, now they're preaching 20 minutes to our online campus. As your online attention span is shorter, it also feels directed to you, as well as a lot of the illustrations they use to the physical campus are irrelevant to our online campus. And, you know, 50% of our audience is outside of the United States. Wow. So it's a totally different community or congregation than, you know, the 10,000 people that are here in San Antonio.
Okay, so you started with one worship online worship service, then you went to three, and now you're running 24/7. How many is that a week?
Well, we run each service is 30 minutes, and so each hour we have two services, and so you look at, it says 48 services a day. Multiply that by seven, that's where we're at.
And what else happens besides the worship service on video? Do you have chat room? What other features do you have on there?
Absolutely.
Now. Yeah.
Okay. And with the Media Social platform, it's highly integrated with Facebook. Mm-hmm. And so you can see when you log in, who's logged in through Facebook. It'll show their Facebook profile, their most recent status update. And then there's a chat box that you'll chat through your Facebook Connect. There's also a map so you can see who else is logged in. There's a notes feature where you could type notes and email them to yourself after the service. So there's kind of there's interactive capabilities with the site. When we moved to 24/7, we didn't have hosts that could host 24/7. So they're There's a lot of hours that you can still see who else is logged in, but there's not that live chat feature. So we'll mm-hmm. shut that off. Mm-hmm. But our primary goal from today to our next step is to really integrate chat so that there's always someone there. There's always community happening.
Mm. Amazing. I mean, that'll take a lot of volunteers.
It will.
Yeah. Let's see. What is that? 168 hours in a week. And if you're running every half hour, that's 334?
Right. And what we found is there are key leaders that are, as people generally sign up for an hour, and so they'll take two services in that hour. But I would say at least half of those new volunteers within 2 or 3 weeks say, can I take 2 hours? Can I take 3 hours? Or we say, and they have the capability to turn the chat on and off themselves. They'll say, can I log in, at 3 a.m. if I'm awake and just open up the chat and do that. So we say, anytime you're able to log in, do that, okay. Open up the chat and they do that. And a lot of our foreign volunteers, especially, will spend many hours on there and chat, at late hours.
And do you notice a difference between a hosted, worship service versus an unhosted worship service?
Absolutely. I mean, the time on site just about doubles. The attendance increases. It's far more effective when we have a host on there. We just found when we were only showing services when there was a host, that I would log into the site at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'd see people log on and log off, and they had seen somebody's Facebook status and I guess gone to the site. Mm-hmm. And it was killing me because there was nothing to engage them. They would see, oh, there's going to be another service in 12 hours. Maybe they'll remember, to bookmark it and come back in 12 hours. Probably not. And when there's no video playing, time on site is like 20 seconds. But when there's a video there to engage them, so even if there's not that live chat functionality, there's that video to engage them, and they can see who else is watching with them. They can connect to our Facebook page, so the engagement level highly increases. But if there's video and there's chat, that's the goal.
That's amazing. So let's see. You've got the 300+ worship services at your online church.
Right.
Rolled out a Spanish service. How are you handling the video and teaching and the language on that?
Yeah, really exactly the same. We have a Spanish service here on our campus. It's one of our teaching pastors, and he teaches both in English and Spanish. So he's on our English channel as well as teaching on the Spanish side. And we do the same thing. We stream those 30-minute services 24/7. And then we have a staff person that he's the administrative assistant to our Spanish ministry who really coordinates that channel. And so I create the structure for him, and he follows the same model that we do. But he's trained his volunteers, and he's got a volunteer team of hosts and prayer warriors that are responding to those requests and following up with new believers and all of that. So it's been the same. We've taken the structure that we learned from CBC Online and just adapted it to that Spanish congregation.
Okay, and then you've also got online life groups. Talk us through that.
Absolutely. We saw that our model here at CBC is, they first engage generally in our worship services, and then our goal is to engage them in a life group. And we thought online, how do we do this, and how do we engage them? And we discussed it for a while, but we realized that our platform is set up for video streaming and then live chat through Facebook, and our congregation is used to that platform. Mm. So we're very intentional to say, this is what our congregation is used to. This is how they're used to engaging with each other and with video content. And then it became natural to us to use video life group content. And so we had some in-house content. We had already created in Bible studies that we used. And then I just talked with some publishers and gained permission to use some of their video content, and realistically, it's just like so many of our physical life groups, where mm-hmm. they'll go in a classroom, mm-hmm. They'll play a DVD teaching, and then they'll discuss it. And so we do the same thing. We'll say, let's gather at 6 p.m. Central Time in this classroom, and we're going to watch this teaching, and then we're going to discuss it. We started our women's pastor actually led the charge on that. as she had a lot of women that were interested in it. And we still see our engagement overall with CBC Online is probably 60 to 70% women. And our life groups, even more than that. And so she tried a few women's studies, really caught with them. And she's really been the driver. So Martha Fisher is her name, and she's really driven our online life groups and taken that to another level. And so I think we're running about 25 or 30 life groups online now, and really wow. seeing a lot of – that's where the depth in the relationships is occurring in our community.
Okay, and how do you facilitate the discussion?
Yeah, just like we do in the online services, we have a host, and that we'll send them materials, just like like the Leader's Guide materials in advance. Generally, they will have already gone through that study previously, but they have those discussion questions. But we leave it up to them as well of how they want to facilitate. Some have 2-hour conversations. And some have 15-minute conversations. Okay. We've got a lot of lunchtime studies that will watch a 15-minute video, have a 15-minute discussion, and that's they're intentional about that time. And then, I'd say some of the ladies' groups really will go a long time afterwards, and they'll chat for a couple hours after the video. So they'll watch a 30-minute video and chat for 2 hours after that. So it's each group is different, and we really, just like our model here at the church, we leave it up to the leader how they want to – they choose the curriculum and the time, and we set it up for them.
Sure. But, I mean, given the platform you're using, Media Social, you're using strong Facebook integrations. So are you just using a Facebook chat room that integrates, and that's your discussion vehicle?
Right, and that's our discussion vehicle. And then we also, for each group, set up a Facebook group. And so that those groups are having community throughout the week or sharing prayer requests in that group. Sending reminders about that time. So you really have that community happening 24/7, but you have a designated time where everyone comes together for that that live community.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about numbers. What kind of attendance are you getting on a weekly basis, and how does that compare to the physical campus, just so people have a sense of how the offline and the online are maybe related?
Okay. We count in Media Social system counts by everyone who's logged in for at least 3 minutes, and so that's kind of our measure of counting heads. And so for CBC Online, we have about 7,500 to 8,000 that will log into our English channel. Spanish, Spanish is probably our fastest growing right now. About 2,500 to 3,000 that are logging in to that Spanish channel. And then life groups, we've got about 25 to 30 life groups and about 300, 350 people that are engaged in life groups on a weekly basis. And so that's about what we're seeing. It's and you hit spurts where you'll hit another surge or and so it's always fluctuating. I mean, Easter, we had 15,000, 16,000, and then we've leveled off the last couple of weeks. I think we're up about 20% this last week from the week before, but it's so different though from our physical campus. We have, about 12,000 a weekend. Mm-hmm. And that attendance is, it's pretty level, you'll hit some ups and downs, but online it's pretty sporadic, we could be up 2,000 one week and down another 1,500 the next week. And hard to understand why, but
it's more of a roller coaster.
It's definitely a roller coaster.
And do you have some way of tracking retention, like how many are repeats versus how many are new?
We do. We're probably, I would say, almost 50% new in some of our numbers that we track. Mm-hmm. So a lot of new folks, a lot of people checking it out. Yeah. But that changes, too, all of the time. But 50% is a pretty standard number for us.
Okay. Now, how many people does it take to run what you're doing staff and volunteer-wise?
Okay, I have a dual role here at the campus. I'm the social media pastor and the young adult pastor, and that was the title I added later. But we have one individual that's full time for CBC Online. He's our CBC Online coordinator, and does a lot of the volunteer support, a lot of the coordinating, make sure everything's scheduled and is functioning correctly. We have our women's pastor is kind of dual role of she's our women's. She has 1,200 women, in life groups that she oversees, as well as those 25 online groups. We have, and then we have our communications team that's doing all of the video work. And so they're doing the editing, the uploading, and then graphic designers that are doing that. So there's a lot of people within the staff wise that are kind of together. And then my role is a lot of times making it all work together. And then with the Spanish side, we have, the admin assistant that really coordinates a lot of the Spanish movement. And then with CBC Online, we have, you know, we've got some incredible volunteers. I would say we have 50, maybe 75 volunteers now between our prayer team, prayer warriors. I mean, we get 25, 30 prayer requests a day that we're responding to personally to each one. Next Steps, New Believers team, and then hosts. We've got about 40 volunteer hosts that are logging in, 30 online life group leaders. So, but honestly, our biggest need right now too is more volunteers and, mm-hmm. and developing those systems. Mm-hmm. And we just opened up, online membership, and our key rationale behind developing that is to develop, online leaders that are committed to the purposes of CBC. Mm-hmm. And so we're just now expanding our volunteer base outside of our local congregation.
Yeah. So when you're managing that many volunteers, and I'm guessing there are some that are not local to San Antonio, what kind of tools are you using for co-working and collaboration?
Yeah, we really as a ministry have really focused on Facebook. So if we can use Facebook for everything, we're going to use Facebook. So we've got several Facebook groups for each individual teams. We love how Facebook has developed their groups feature and as a collaboration tool. And so a lot of times our leaders are leading each other through that. We try to automate a lot of our processes as far as the membership process, the volunteer training process, and then be available to them. But really trying to automate that to speed up some of that process. And answer a lot of those questions from a technology standpoint and understanding the platform so that when we're actually having that interaction and answering questions, they've already gone through and have a deeper understanding of what we're doing and where we're going. But it's, you know, we're always struggling, though. We use email. I mean, we have a weekly leaders email that we're always sending out. Even still, we're able to track how many people open that. Right. And that's always disappointing, you know. And so We try all the tools that we can. We tried Basecamp, and that really our leaders weren't logging into it, so that wasn't effective. So, but we tried a lot of different things. Facebook, though, has been our primary tool.
Okay. You hinted at measuring some things and evaluating how well this is engaging your audience and how it's fulfilling the mission of the church. So what is it that you're measuring and deciding what counts as success?
Okay. Honestly, we try to measure everything that we can and to see what's working and what's not working. And there are so many measurements of success. And so we'll measure how many people logged in, how long did they log in for, why maybe that happened. And then we'll ask, you know, the why. We'll measure, next steps, how many people indicated a decision for Christ, how many prayer requests. And then a lot of it is in storytelling. We might have a week that we had a lower number, but in our Facebook group, I'm hearing a lot of people saying, man, I had a lot of meaningful time on the chat and I really connected with this individual. And we'll see that even though our numbers might be down, we know that the impact, is up, in those areas. And then we'll measure too, like our Facebook likes, and our Facebook interactions. So really any measurable, we're looking to measure and then understanding then how in our core purposes is that effective in accomplishing our goals. And so our goal as a church is to reach, teach, and help people in Jesus' name. And and so we check our measurables and see whether it lines up or we're really reaching those goals.
So it sounds like there's some soft metrics, if you will, in terms of looking at all the numbers and getting a sense of how it's doing overall rather than saying, if you don't hit a certain number, then we're going to cut something.
Right.
Now,
right.
You've been at it for 2 years. What have you had to cut?
Yeah, the one thing that we've cut, but I say we've cut it temporarily, is we launched a CBC Cafe, which is like a music channel or CBC Radio, and we use Media Social, the same platform that we were using. We recently cut that. But we're really just transitioning it in that it had interactive elements, and we found that on the radio, people weren't chatting. They were just putting it on in the background, mm-hmm. and we were using a platform that wasn't effective. That wasn't a platform that was engaging people. That was just a tool to encourage them, you know, have on their mm-hmm. computer in the background at mm-hmm. work. Mm-hmm. So we're transitioning that to a CBC radio. The other thing, you know, I would say that really flopped was we got on the text to give bandwagon when that was big, right when we started. We thought, oh, this yeah. is going to be huge. Uh-huh. And I went through so many, went through every webinar you could go to about text to give and how to utilize it. And I think, we had $15 total given through text to give. Wow. And I bet I spent 15 hours, you know, studying, and sitting in webinars to learn it. And so that was, and we just, you know, after 6 months, this is, not worth it. Maybe it'll work for someone else, but not for us.
Now, for people attending your online church, they can certainly get in on a browser. What about mobile support and iPad? How are you handling those?
The media social platform works great on an iPad. Their video player is an HTML5, and you can actually watch the video without going full screen on the iPad, and you can stream it then. I'm a big Apple TV user, and so I like to then stream it through the Apple TV, and it also then integrates with the iPhone, Android, mobile devices, but you go full with the iPhone, you go full screen on the video, so you lose the interactive elements with it.
Okay.
But our when we track numbers, though, it's the iPad has a little more. The iPhone, Android, we don't have a huge attendance or logins from the mobile devices. I my personal opinion, though, is the next game changer in online church from a technology standpoint is the connected TV devices, the Roku, Boxy. When we can get into the living rooms that people can maybe interact on their iPhone but watch it on their living room TV, the technology is there. It's just not developed enough. It's not in all of the, you know, it's not in everyone's home. It's kind of the tech geeks that are using it now.
Sure.
But I think that's going to be a game changer for us.
Well, and it's a game changer in the sense of, hey, you can buy those boxes on at Best Buy. It's in the retail stores,
right.
And
right.
They're still on the shelves. So, you know, it's slowly being adopted by the mainstream.
Absolutely.
Not a lot of churches are showing up there, but they're starting to. How far along are you in that process?
We've been talking about it for about a year. We just haven't, a lot of it honestly is I feel like, the devices that are out there are a little clunky. I bought a Roku, and I had a hard time making it function the way I was wanting it to function. I thought, if I'm having a hard time with it, the majority of our users are not, and so it's not worth developing that alone yet. And honestly, I think Apple leads the way with so much technology that really, just like the iPhone, you know, once the iPhone was developed, it opened so many doors for mobile technology. And Apple TV is a great device, but it's closed to developers.
Right.
And I think when Apple opens up that development, I think that's when that whole world is going to change. And I thought Google TV might take the lead on that, and that's where they kind of flopped. So, so we'll see. But we're in the works of developing a Roku app. I'm not sold on that as a device, that it's really going to be something, but I think as we develop that, just how we integrate mobile and, the connected TV device, I think that will lead the way to using other devices and how we use that technology.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay. Two theological questions about online church. How do you handle the ordinances, baptism and communion? Because I'm assuming that your online church is a full-fledged campus. You're not looking to use it as an outreach to get people to a physical campus.
Right. And I will say, we do encourage people to find a local congregation, but we also know that a large portion of the people that we reach, there's not solid Bible churches in their areas. There's a lot of people that log into our site and say, I'm glad I can have this conversation here with my fake Facebook name because I can't talk with anyone else where I live about church and about God. So we know that for them, that this is their church family, and we're not going to engage them in a local congregation, but we don't discourage that either. But when it comes to the ordinances, we have not done a baptism online, but we've talked about it quite a bit. And I look forward to that day because we've got a lot of people that accepted Christ online. Mm. It's really just been a situation to situation of, you know, how do we do it from a technology standpoint and how that works. And then from a, but we have done communion, and I think it was one of the more powerful things we've done online, and that we said, go get some crackers, get some Pepsi, get something to represent Jesus' body and Jesus' blood. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the service, we're going to take communion together. Mm-hmm. And so as people from Saudi Arabia, and India and, you know, Kentucky, we're all logged in together, then taking communion together. That's a powerful thing to all at the same time. All over the world be sharing in that sacrament. So that was a to us, that was a big part of really us saying, this is a church, this is a community, and we're going to celebrate communion together.
So, that's great.
And the baptism is the same way. We look forward to these people that are accepting Christ and then sharing that with our local, or I say local, with our online congregation as it's a family.
That's great. That's amazing. So let me pull the camera back. We're going to wrap up with two areas of questioning. One is how. What do you think about all the other social networks that are out there, and how is your church incorporating social media as a part of their congregational life in the physical campus?
Okay. You know, and you're talking about Twitter, Pinterest.
Yeah, exactly. Twitter, Pinterest, Google+. Those are kind of the three other popular ones.
You know, we look at where people are, and a lot of it we take volunteers. And if there's a volunteer, if there's a leader that wants to drive a certain area, I'm dying for someone to take the lead on Pinterest. Pinterest is growing so fast. I see what Mars Hill is doing, and they're doing a fantastic job with Pinterest. Other than them, I think there's a void there, and I'd like to see it used. YouTube is probably the platform that we're utilizing the most, second to Facebook, when it just comes to posting short videos and interaction to, we have a Twitter account, but we've had a couple different people that have driven that, and we've really lacked the leadership and drive there. So we focused on Facebook. Google+, I think is cool. It's great that Google pulls that information, but people aren't there, or we're not finding that the investment there is worth it from a people standpoint. Sure. So we'll definitely dive into some of those other platforms, but until, you know, there's 900 million people on Facebook, and we're just scratching that surface, and right. So we're gonna continue to focus our energy in that platform, but we'll just have to see and really what leaders drive what areas and even how those sites develop.
So how does Community Bible use social media? Am I right to assume they just use Facebook and email, or do they have like an internal some kind of communication?
Yeah, in a lot of the way our church works, and as we have a lot of just freedom and flexibility in our ministry areas, each ministry area will use that tool in a different way. So our women's ministry uses Facebook in one way. Our women's ministry uses a Facebook group. Our men's ministry uses a Facebook page that's their own individual Facebook page. We have a CBC Online Facebook page and a Community Bible Church Facebook page, as well as a Twitter account for the church as a whole. Because what we're sharing with our local congregation is very different from what we're sharing to our global congregation, and right. So what's relevant to both, we felt like it was important to separate those two. So we just have different drivers with each one and strategies. So it all varies depending on the ministry area.
No, that's a great insight, because it's a big question to consider: how do you centralize communication, and how you decentralize and empower?
Right.
Different ministries. Sounds like you've found a good balance there. Well, you're one of the first to be on the Social Media Church podcast here. What would you say to the other 300,000 churches that are trying to figure out how to incorporate social media into their church?
Definitely. There are two things that I think immediately come to mind, and just with some conversations I have with other churches and other pastors. And one is that social media won't make you relevant. I have a lot of dying churches that will come to me and say, can you help us get on Twitter? Can you help us develop a Facebook page so we can start reaching young people, or so that we can get a lot of people come to our church? And I think the reality is, if you're not relevant in your local congregation, in your local context, you're probably not going to be relevant online, and social media is not going to make you relevant. Mm-hmm. Social media is a tool to help you communicate and to engage your audience and possibly reach more people. But if you're current, what you're communicating currently is not reaching your local context, it's probably not going to be effective online. And the other is a lot of churches will say, we want to develop an online campus so that we can raise a lot of money. You know, it's cheap to put it on there, and a lot of people are just going to log in and give money. Or they say, well, Facebook is free, so we want to use that. And the reality is Facebook isn't free. It might not cost you money, but it's going to cost you time. And if you're going to be effective on Facebook or Twitter or on YouTube or any social media platform, you're going to have to invest your time and energy into that platform. Otherwise, you're going to be ineffective. I don't think I know anyone that says, well, we're going to try it on the side and see what happens. And theirs takes off. That they really are intentional. So we're going to invest in this. Mm-hmm. It's not free. Mm-hmm. It might not cost you financial resources, but it's going to cost you time and investment.
Well, I mean, since you raised finances, I mean, one of the hidden costs I've noticed as I look at how a church would pull off an online campus is streaming costs. Streaming costs can escalate pretty quick as your audience grows, and you don't want ads there, really.
Right, right.
And then I don't know how much you can comment on this, but what is the financial expectation for CBC Online?
And that's a great question. And really, I would say that's where a lot of where our online campus started. As our church has grown so rapidly in our physical campus, it's very expensive to build a new worship center, to build more parking spaces, and you know, to buy more land. But when it comes to our online context, the cost, we're not running out of seats online, and we don't, you know, we're never going to run out of parking spaces. And the cost to a bandwidth is so minimal in comparison to parking spaces and seats and air conditioning and security and all that goes into our physical context. So from a financial standpoint, it costs less. But also, I mean, I'll be honest, our reality is it's not breaking even. You know, the money that comes in is not equal to the money that it costs. Our local church is generous, and really it's a passion of the church to say we want to break down geographic barriers, and we're going to invest in this ministry to reach beyond where we couldn't reach before.
Okay. So can you give us a ballpark? Is it 50% sustainable or whatever, how you would describe that?
That's a good question. Yeah, I would say from online giving, probably about 35%. But that changes month to month, honest with you. And even talking to the folks at Life Church is the only church that I know of that's been self-sustaining, I guess, from a financial perspective. And I believe it took them 4 or 5 years to get to that point. So that's what we're looking at. And I don't know if it's that exact time frame, but our church leadership understands that it's going to take time to build that, just like a church plant in many ways.
Yeah. It took 5 years for Amazon to go in the platform.
There you go.
Great. And then last question is pay it forward. What would you like to ask the next church leader that we interview here?
Absolutely. I would just love to hear what have you learned and what are you trying? So many people say, this is how you use social media. And I hate, you know, when people say, think it's black and white. Mm-hmm. Everyone uses it differently and everyone has tried things that have failed and everyone is doing something that works that probably no one else is doing. And so I would just love to hear what are you doing different that you've really found successful?
Excellent. We'll do that. Okay, in the show notes, I'll add a link to the video that you made on your first anniversary, which really gave a great summary and some numbers and some stories of what's happened in the first year of CBC Online. Thank you, Nils. Great chatting with you.
Thanks, DJ.
Thank you, Nils, for that great conversation about social media and how you're using it as a part of your ministry at Community Bible Church. Again, see the show notes and watch the video of the one-year wrap-up and celebration of how their online church was impacting lives of people around the world. And connect with us and join the conversation here by using Twitter, Facebook, blog comment, YouTube video response, or call in with a voicemail. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your comments, and your questions at socialmediachurch.net. This concludes episode number 2 of the Social Media Church, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. And until next week, we'll connect with you online.